الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. الحمد لله. Last week to continue with the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the primary reason why we are talking in this series for the next, I'm thinking at least 2 to 3 months we'll continue. The reason why we're talking about the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is to connect ourselves to not just Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but the complexity of our past, the simplicity of our past, and the unique rich history that we are very much part of. Now, last week I mentioned to you the fellow that made a statement that is linked to Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam. Now, there was a brother that came, and he made a very young fellow. We were talking after Jummah Salah, and he says, "But you know, we hear in our country all the time, so-and-so is linked to the Prophet of Allah, and so-and-so is linked to Nuh alayhi salam, and so-and-so is linked to Ibrahim alayhi salam, and so-and-so is linked to Ismail alayhi salam." So he said something very important. He says, "How can you discredit that to a certain extent?" He says, "You know, it doesn't seem very good to discredit that." I said, "Okay." I gave him an answer, and I kept it at that. He says, "Can you cover it next week?" And I said, "Why do you want me to cover it next week? Is that going to be double torture?" And he says, no. "You have made some very valid points, and I never thought about this." So I was sharing with him from a historical point of view. When you study the lineage of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there is a great injustice that is done to us, in a sense that you go to some homes and you'll see a tree, and in that tree they'll have Adam alayhi salam, and all the way at the bottom Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, right? Any of you saw that? I'm sure you've seen it, you heard of it. Even I read it out one of the seerah programs, from Adam alayhi salam all the way to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we get emotional and we say, yeah, see, we have a full lineage from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam all the way to Adam alayhi salam. Well, that is not so true when you really study from a historical perspective. Because the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked a question, he gave a very beautiful answer. He says, "Between me and Adnan," and we'll talk about who Adnan is, "myself and Adnan, they are 20. 20 what? 20, for example, father, grandfather, great-grandfather, all the way up, there are 20 of that comes, 20 generations, etc." That's the answer he gave. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never lied. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have said, "Between myself and Ibrahim, there is so many generations. And between Ibrahim alayhi salam and Nuh alayhi salam, there is so many generations." And then between Nuh alayhi salam, as we know, there was a blockage that took place where there were 3 sons of his on that ship. And if you study tribes, those 3 children created unique tribes that came thereafter. So my point is, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Between myself and Adnan, how many? There are 20. Now between Adnan and Ibrahim alayhi salam, that's where the historians differ. Some say there is 7 to 8 generations. Some say there is 9. Some say there is 10. Some say there is 41 generations between Adnan and who? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, how come we don't know this history so well? That's a fair question. Because before Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we didn't care for the history. Obviously we didn't care. And those that did care were the Jews. And why did they care? Because from the Jewish side, you get Ibrahim alayhi salam, and you get 2 sons. Who you get? Ismail and Ishaq. And they are on the lineage of what? Ishaq. So obviously they're going to know the lineage of Ishaq, and we're not going to necessarily know the lineage of Ismail. Does that make sense? Right. So once we have that, simply put, it is obvious that when someone tells you they are linked to Ismail alayhi salam, you're going to ask them, "But how?
How are you going to be linked? Because there was no tree before that. And if there is a tree, can you give me up to 41 generations? Come on, folks, some of us don't even know a great-grandfather's name. Some of us don't even know a greatest-grandfather's name. How are you going to give me 41 generations before Adnan? Can you even give me from now to Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Leave alone from Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to Adnan. And between Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Adnan, there are one, two individuals that sometimes get a little bit complicated. So my point here is, when people tell you and I, I'm linked to so and so, you have to say Alhamdulillah and walk away. Because if you're going to get into a historical discussion, they have to give you proof. And how are they going to give you this type of proof? That is point number one. Why this type of history is very, very important. Point number two, now we go into a man by the name of Tubba. Now, you get the title called president, you get the title called king, you get the title called Pharaoh. When you say Pharaoh, it's not always Fir'aun. There were many different pharaohs. Likewise, there were many different, what you will say, Tubba. Many different kings. And some of them were known for their contribution and also legacy they left behind. A very important point, why the issue of Adnan is also very important, is because Adnan had a son. And his son was the contemporary of Isa alayhi salam. Very important point. Very, very important point. The son of Adnan was the contemporary or the individual that also lived in the time period of Isa alayhi salam. And this is very important because not only is Isa alayhi salam now important to us, but his history is also very important. Now that we have talked about Isa alayhi salam, the Quran says, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّحَ لَهُمْ. As far as Isa alayhi salam is concerned, he was not killed, he was not crucified. وَلَكِنْ شُبِّحَ لَهُمْ. However, in exchange of him, a similar man was brought forth. Now, there's a beautiful discussion that takes place. Since we spoke about Isa alayhi salam, from somewhat a historical perspective, but not narrowed it down, and maybe later on we will do that. When you study the Bible, it comes in there that after this whole incident of Isa alayhi salam taking place, where they wanted to kill him and all those things, another man had come in his place. When this other man came in his place, Christians recognized that and they said, this man looks different. Because the Quran says, we did not kill him, he was not killed, he was not crucified, and another man was placed in his place. So these are the little things we have to realize this time of year, that Isa alayhi salam was not crucified, we all agree with that, he was not killed, we all agree with that, and there was another individual that was placed in his given place, and as far as he is concerned, Isa alayhi salam, he is well and alive, and inshallah, when the time is right, he will come back down, and once he comes back down, inshallah, Allah will make those that are good become his forces to perpetuate further good in society. Now, continuing with last week, this man, Tubba, he was known as also Akbar. He was a very, very powerful individual in his right. And he was traveling, and like every leader, he wanted to also conquer. He wanted to expand his territory. So anyway, as he was wanting to expand his territory, he somehow ended up in Hijaz, Makkah al-Mukarramah. And when he ended up there traveling through, he had a child, and for some reason or the other, guess what happened? His child got killed. When you look at it from a tribal perspective, as you see over here, they not only wanted to get the people that killed, they wanted to destroy the entire aspect of Makkah al-Mukarramah. Everyone now must pay the price because this one child was killed. So anyway, Tubba came back to deal with the individuals. And he wanted to destroy everyone because his blessed child was killed. As he began to destroy and hurt and want to kill, there was something very strange that took place. He would fight the people in the daytime, and at night, the Ansar, now we're not talking about the Ansar and Muhajir at the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we're talking about way before Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, way before, right, historically. At night, this group would send food for this Tubba and his military. Now this Tubba guy was really taken aback. He says, what's going on here? I'm killing you during the day. I'm fighting you during the day. At night, you're sending us food. And the locals of Makkah says, you know, let us tell you one thing. There's a thing called, well, to translate it, taking care of your guest. At the end of the day, whether you kill us or whether you don't kill us, you are our guest. And we're going to feed you and we're going to be good to you. You want to be bad to us, you can be bad to us. You do what you want to do. But we are going to do what we need to do. And we're going to be nice to you. Now this is something you are beginning to see in our, it's part of our Islamic history, that when people are rude to you and you start being rude to them, then understand you're not following Islam. You're following a tribal mentality of Tubba and his people. You mess with me, I take out your whole family. I destroy you. But the thing here is, so Tubba, during the day, he would fight. At night, he would get the food. Eventually, he says, this is what he says, by Allah, these people are amazing. By Allah, these people are amazing. I'm here to hurt them. They continue their kindness towards me. He called it off. No more fighting with the people. And before he called it off, now again, a very important historical fact. There were two Jews that came to him. They were rabbis. And why this is very important in light of what took place in Jerusalem in the past few days, the headquarters being moved. Historically speaking, and this is why we talk of the seerah of Rasulullah ﷺ, is to connect us with the history of our Prophet ﷺ and beyond. This is very important because the young ones over here, the history of Mecca and Medina and Palestine is very, very skewed. You ask anyone, what's your history regarding Palestine? What's your history? They'll tell you, it's regarding the Jews and the Christians fighting. It's regarding warfare. It's regarding killing. It's regarding Israel's occupation in Palestine. It's regarding why don't Palestinians give up this and give up that. Your historical point of view is based on current political trends. And you cannot base your history on current political trends. That is why there's a saying, the man that knows history, the woman that knows history, the individual that knows history controls history. Understand this very well. The one that knows history controls history. The one that writes on history controls history. The one that talks about history controls history. If you don't know your history, you know nothing. That is why we have title deeds. That is why we have lineage. And as far as the Arabs are concerned, they knew their lineage. There is a thing called Ilmul Ansab. Ilmul Ansab is a study of lineage. We know from the Arabs, they will be able to tell you, last week we spoke about camels, right? They'll be able to tell you a camel's name, the mother's or the mother of that camel and her name, and the mother of that camel and her name, and the mother of that camel, and all the way up. That's how much they knew. So therefore, when we study the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, and someone says, it's just hadith, they are nuts. They don't know what they're talking. It's not just hadith. There is a lineage that we are accustomed to, scientific way of looking at things that gives us deeper data than what we and I are generally accustomed to. We think we are all that advanced. We don't realize this started as far back as we can remember. So regarding the aspect of, I brought up Jerusalem, there are also many other aspects that our religion ties a knot to when it comes to Jerusalem. Take for example, there was a time in which a lot of people in Palestine converted, and they were made to convert due to certain battles to Christianity. It took them many, many, many years to convert to Christianity. It wasn't an overnight conversion. You know, when Sayyidina Umar's time came, they say he walked in. He walked in with, a donkey. He came near a church and they said, Sayyidina Umar, go ahead, perform salah. Look at his sensitivity. When he came in, they told him, you are the Khalif, go and perform the salah in this masjid. He says, no, no, no. This will be a very insensitive thing to do. We are not here to rule over the people. This is an amanah that Allah has given us. We are not here to dictate and bully people and make them submit to what we want them to submit. They say during that time period, before that, it took them years and years to convert to Christianity. And during his reign, it was those people that converted, it was like a domino effect. Overnight, overnight, they became Muslims. And they converted to Islam, and they became the best that you could find. This is our history regarding Palestine and that given area. And up till today, they say the church is still a church, is continuing doing what it's doing, and near that there is a masjid named after Sayyidina Umar. So there is a very important point here that we are making. We like to be in power. We like to control. Sayyidina Umar teaches us from this example of Palestine, it's not about control and dominating people. It's with the heart. Ruling with the heart. Ruling with love. Ruling in a way that Allah wants us to govern and connecting us to Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is very different from what we are seeing right now in Jerusalem. So coming back to this person, Tubba, this rabbi has told him, look, you are never going to win over the people of Makkah. You're going to fight. And I'm sorry, they told him, but you're going to end up destroying yourself and destroying your future. He says, really? They said, yes. So don't mess with the people of Makkah and Medina. Just call it quits and move on. Okay, he agreed. Now look at when a man and a woman agree to do good, Allah changes the destiny. Very important. When a man and woman change from the horrible state to do good, Allah changes the destiny. He had a dream. And now the dream says, O Tubba, go to the Ka'batullah and make it look nice, cover it up. So he took some leaves, a lot of leaves from the palm tree, and he put it on top. I mean, he made it look nice. He had a dream again. Tubba, no, no, no. Don't do that. Go and cover it with something better. He came, he got a cloth, and he put it over. No, Tubba, go and do something better. Back then, the people of Yemen used to be known for their fabric. Amazing, amazing fabric. And in the 1960s, when people used to go, I remember from South Africa, and they would come back to South Africa, they would bring a shawl. It was made in Yemen. They would bring something from Yemen because they had this love, not only for the people of Yemen, but also they understood the legacy that Yemen had brought forth. So the third time he had a dream, he thereafter took strips of cloth, put the strips together, made it like a beautiful thing that drapes over. So rather than just throwing, you know, sometimes they have a table and you just throw a cloth on, it doesn't look right. You know, you just throw it on and it moves like this and like that. So when you do it in strips, it's able to lay a little bit better throughout. And that's exactly how he made it. And from there on, he did not have that dream thereafter, which means that he was one of the first people that took part in draping the Ka'batullah. And that's where clothing the Kaaba began. All thereafter, we learn something very important, and we'll talk about it next week, wherein he has a very unique dream. And he has this dream, and now he wants to call people to get a meaning of the dream. So he calls a few people and they say, your dream, if you don't want to tell us the dream, then how are we going to give you its meaning? Because he said the following, if I tell you my dream, then that means you already know the dream. If you know the dream, you'll make up some answer and you'll act like a smart guy in front of me. That's why these guys that deal in all this jinn and evil stuff, you must never tell them what you are suffering from. Never tell them. Because when you tell them what you are going through, then they say, yeah, your brother this and your... And normally what they say is, if you are a woman, it's always going to be your mother-in-law, your sister-in-law, your this-in-law and that-in-law. It's a standard response they give. Because these guys are filled in a lot of garbage. So Tubba was smart. He didn't tell them exactly what the dream was. He just said, I had a dream, and if you can tell me the dream and give me its meaning, then we are fair game and we can continue from here on. So inshallah, next week I will tell you what the dream was. It was amazing. It was amazing. And this is the dream that sets the template of later on the coming of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.